in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That scripture right there is the recipe for Book of Acts Church. Now, most of us as churchgoers have no problem with the apostles' doctrine. I believe I'm in a house where we teach the plan of salvation according to Acts 2:38, which is repentance, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. I think I'm in a house of friends on that. I believe I'm in a house of friends that believes in breaking of bread, not only when it's speaking of the communion or the Lord's Supper, but also what we're about to do in about 15 minutes, where we have community meals together. I think everybody's on the same page. I think everybody in the house believes that there needs to be some sort of prayer in your life. You need a prayer life with God, or you're not going to succeed in this walk with God. I know here at the church, I've been implementing at Ashtabula what Pastor Arderi has implemented here in Jefferson, of trying to get at least 5 minutes of prayer every day before 9 a.m. There's something about it that will change the course of your day, but you need a prayer life. But I don't have any doubt that the vast majority of everybody sitting here this evening agrees with all three of those ingredients in the recipe for Book of Acts Church. But there's four. How many of you cook? How many of you bake? All right, with those hands up, how many people like to eat what you cook or what you bake? There's some people here I know for a fact. How many of you realize that every ingredient in the recipe is important? If you leave one out, it can drastically change whatever it is that you're trying to prepare. Now, I want to tell you something. I want to give you a little bit of history before I get started. I've been around the church. My father pastored when I was young. I've been in or around the church all 51 years of my life. I've seen the church with its ups. I've seen the church with its downs. I've seen the church, unfortunately, myself, with my ins and my outs. And the biggest change that I see in the church is not the apostles' doctrine. We're still preaching it as hard as we've ever preached it. We're praying now as much as we ever have. We're having community meals and taking the Lord's Supper. We used to take it once a year, and I know churches now that take it twice a year or four times a year and coming together, foot washing, communion, all of those things, we're bringing the church together. But I'm here to tell you the one thing that I see is a lack of fellowship. I don't want you to get with me yet. The word for fellowship in the New Testament is said about 17 times. We find the word fellowship in the New Testament. That word is a Greek word pronounced koinonia. Koinonia. It's in right at the bottom below the scripture. It's a Greek word, and it means several things. But like a lot of words in scripture, the English language does not adequately explain what this word really means. When we say fellowship in church nowadays, we think of these things. In Ashtabula, we've implemented fellowship before our Sunday morning service. We have a brother, Brother Dan. He brings a whole slew of cookies, donuts, we have coffee. It's become probably the best part of coming to the Ashtabula service is our fellowship before service. And I believe that that's very, very important, setting that part aside. But the word fellowship, when you translate it, the actual literal definition is holding something in common. But here's the part that we, I believe, as a church, as a whole, and I'm not speaking of a specific assembly, I'm talking about the apostolic movement, have just allowed this part of the recipe to just go by the wayside. It's active, deep, spiritual partnership. Now, without telling on yourself, how many of you were instructed by the senior pastor this evening to go to someone that you do not know, from a church that you do not attend, and grab their hand? How many of you, don't raise your hand, didn't do it? I want to talk about fellowship. Active joint participation. Say this word with me, active, intentional, coordinated, on purpose, partnership. That's fellowship. We get caught up in fellowship. We get caught up in the word. We get caught up in this. I want to give you a quote. German educator and intellectual leader Philip Melanchthon, who was Martin Luther's protege in the 1500s, said this in relationship to Christian fellowship. He said, in essentials, unity. We have got to preach the same thing. We cannot move one inch from the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a church, we have got to stay steadfast in essentials. He said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. Can I ask you a question that's very plain? I'm about half done. How many of you in this building this evening can look at any other person in this building, including yourself, and say that you agree with that person 100%. All of you husbands, get your hands up or you're going to have an argument on the way home. How many of you, and I want you to be honest with yourself right now, I'm not preaching to the person sitting next to you, I'm preaching to you as an individual. How many of you can look in this building and locate one individual that you agree with 100%? There isn't one, there's not one on earth, and if you're like me, I don't agree with Mike half the time. I might be the only one that's crazy, but I talk to myself, and I get into arguments with myself. Any of you ever said this? Man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Anybody married in here? Can I please get an amen? Amen. Anybody ever get into a discussion and you say something, you say, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Amen. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have ate that. Okay, can we get somewhere? That's not the basis of fellowship. And too many times in modern church, that's what we make it. We disagree on things that are non-essential. And we allow those disagreements. The scripture is not mistaken when it says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And what we do is we isolate ourselves and our churches to the point where our saints are starving to death, not because of doctrine and not because of prayer and not because of communion, but from a lack of fellowship with the body of Christ. The Book of Acts church continued steadfastly in fellowship. Now, how many of you struggle with fellowship? I'm going to get plain, so you're going to get plain with me, or I'm going to preach right over top of your head. In a crowd of this size, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are people under the sound of my voice that right now in your walk with God, you're at your lowest point you've ever been. It's not discernment. It's not the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me. It's experience of being around the church my whole life. In a crowd of this size, there are people in this building right now wondering if tomorrow you're going to be in the church. Your reasoning is your own. You're having family disturbances. There's something going on in your health. You can't understand the difficulty that you're having on your job. Just seems like the kids can't get along anymore. You're dealing with the changes of life. Maybe you're an empty nester and you're wondering what life is all about. Maybe you're getting to an age where you see more road behind you than you do in front of you, and you're struggling emotionally. And sometimes, as a matter of fact, I'll go on record to say many times, the answer to your problem is you need more active connection with your brothers and your sisters in fellowship. Now, we can wait all night long because this is our mentality. We have read the story of Gideon far too much. We need to quit preaching about it. We need to quit watching movies about it. We need to move on because inadvertently we've taught our saints to fleece God 16 million times before responding to his word. And here's what we say. The service begins to move. The Spirit of God begins to speak. You feel it on the back of your neck. The hair on your arms begins to stand up. And you realize that what's being preached is exactly what you need. And then here's what we do. We get to the multitudes in the valley of decision. And we're making up our mind. We're building up our strength and our courage to say, you know what? I'm going to do it tonight. Tonight's my night. So God, if it's you asking me to do this, have Brother Jerome go up and sing a song that no one has sung since 1918. I'll know it's your will, God, if Brother Jerome gets up and starts on the altar service when we're about ready to juke and jive and he says, get a partner. If Brother Jerome gets up and sings, I come to the garden alone. He doesn't even know this song. He's not gonna sing it. And what we say is, well, it must not have been in God's will. You fleece God. And all you are doing is trying to put the onus on God when he's trying to put it on you. What would you do if you believed that your answer tonight is on the other side of you walking across this sanctuary and hugging someone's neck? Would you do it? Before you answer, I want you to think about it. Because I'm going to go to my second verse, and then I'm almost done. 1 John chapter 1, I want to read verses 6 and 7 in your hearing. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Fellowship. I told you, I'm old enough. I'm 51 years old. How many of you think 51 is old? Look around, all you people that don't have your hands up. These are the enemy. Here's how I designate whether you're old or not. If you are older than 51, you are old, because you will always be older than me. So that target kind of moves. But I'm 51 years old. I've been in church or in around church my whole life. I remember these services. When my dad pastored, we used to fellowship with a church that was from the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. It was the PAW church. We were a predominantly white church. I'm going to say some things that are plain. If I get out of line, Pastor Arderi, grab my suit coat and sit me down. But we fellowshipped with a predominantly African-American church from Youngstown, Ohio. I'm originally from Niles. It was called Mount Calvary Church. It's still there. It's pastored now by Bishop Sean Tyson. We used to have ministers that would come from that church on Saturday night. If you're tired tonight, grow up in the church I went to. We had church Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And faithfulness wasn't optional. You got drugged to church. And church lasted a lot longer than it's going to last tonight. And I remember the fellowship. I remember churches in the vicinity that intentionally scheduled their midweek services on opposite days so that the churches could fellowship one with another. They would tell their members, our midweek will be on Tuesday so that you can go to so-and-so's church on Wednesday, and another church would have it on Thursday so this church could go to this church on Wednesday and Tuesday. And not one of those churches, as a matter of fact, not one of those members were in complete agreement with one another whatsoever. There were differences of beliefs on all kinds of non-essential things, but what they agreed upon was we need one another. We suffer in silence. We die isolated from the very thing that God put into his recipe for a Book of Acts church, which is simply active participation with a common goal. We're all trying to get to the same place, and our trip is going to be a lot easier if we work together and not isolate ourselves one from another. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. It's time for the church to put the final ingredient back into the recipe, because the recipe still works. It still works. Your family needs fellowship. Your loved ones need fellowship. Your brothers and sisters need fellowship. And most importantly, whether you recognize it or not, you need the fellowship of the saints. You need it. You need it as much as you need Jesus' name baptism. You need it as much as you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There is no room nowadays for us four and no more. God bless our church and no one else. Now I lay me down to sleep. God bless our house. There's no time for that. It's time for the kingdom of God to come back together in fellowship and help one another actively so that we can all get to heaven. I'm glad you were clapping, because now we're going to take the preaching and we're going to put it to action. I want every member in this building to stand to your feet. There are no exceptions in this. I taught our church this morning for 10 minutes. The idea of being an introvert is not biblical. It's a psychological term that Carl Jung, a psychologist, came up with, and we've applied it to ourselves. If there was ever a person in Scripture that had the right to claim the title of introvert, it was Moses himself. He made excuse after excuse after excuse as to why God couldn't use him. And after enough excuses, the Bible said that God got so angry with Moses that he admonished him. And if you'll read the end of the book, not just the beginning, there are only two individuals in Scripture ever described in the Bible as being mighty in speech. One of them is Jesus Christ. The other one is Moses. Why'd you say all that, preacher? It's time to fix the problem. It's time tonight for you to leave loneliness in this sanctuary. I'm going to get plain. I got two more minutes. It's time to, I'm not joking around at all. It is time tonight to leave isolation in this building. It's time to walk out of this building, not pumped up, not excited, not our goosebump machine got turned on, not our neck hair stood up and we did a little bit of a jig. I'm saying it's time for you to change the direction of your life tonight by making a choice to say, I am going to take an active, proactive role in fellowship. I'm going to go to someone I don't know, that I don't even know if they like me. Trust me, when you're walking, anybody walk around here and be like, be honest for a couple minutes. Anybody ever look around in a meeting of this size and go, that dude looks a little weird? All right, be honest. You're allowed to show hands. It won't hurt my feelings at all. How many of you said that about me? Thank God, honesty in the house. Here's the reality and here's the truth. When you're walking across the sanctuary and you're like, that person looks weird, let me burst your bubble. Do you know what they're thinking? We're all weird. You know why? Because the Bible said we're a peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. The answer to what you've been facing for months, the reason you're crying yourself to sleep at night, The reason you're desperate, the reason you're dealing with anxiety, the reason that depression has got a grip in your mind, the answer to it, the recipe, the ingredient to its solution is in this building tonight. It's fellowship. We're going into it in about 5 minutes, but I wonder if for the next 3 minutes, there's anybody in this church. I don't care who you are, but I've been speaking to you and you felt what I said. Would you be the one, would you be the key to this service and break the ice right now and walk across the aisle to someone you don't know and say, would you pray with me and pray with them? I'm telling you, there's people in here battling things that you don't know about, but they need fellowship. I know this is an odd thing, and if I asked right now for everybody to get out $5, it would be more comfortable than what I'm asking you to do. I understand that. But the recipe for Book of Acts Church will never move forward without fellowship. Preach all you want. Pray all you want. Fast all you want. Believe all you want. But refuse fellowship and the recipe cannot work. But if we'll add that ingredient back into our walk with God, we are going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen before. An end time revival that we've only talked about. It will start with simple fellowship. Love one another. Care about. It's happening in the back. I don't know what you're waiting for. Grab someone's hand and lift it up before God and say, brother, sister, I just desire God's will in your life. Pray with one another. Love with one another. I stopped there. Go and have a meal with one another. Care about one another. Care about, pray for each other and love one another in the house of God tonight. Fellowship. It brings us back together. It puts us into alignment. It allows God to move. In essentials, we have unity. In non-essentials, we have liberty. But in all things, we have charity, love for our brothers and our sisters. In Jesus' name.
Jesus is mine, and he's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. And born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Oh, what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. 'Cause I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never. Trust and not trust in God. You're the one who will never fail. He will never fail. A perfect submission. His soul is out. raised, and I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Yes, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. Sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered.
That's why I trust him.
That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered.
I sought the Lord,
and he heard, and he answered.
I can have your attention for one moment. Can I have your attention for one moment? What we would like to do from this point on is have you move over to the fellowship hall, have some pizza, whatever else they have over there. We just try to do something that's easy and fellowship a little longer. I want you to remember one thing. Thank you, Pastor Klein, for reminding us about this important topic. They were in the upper room for between 7 and 8 days. It depends upon how you count. Years ago, I took to the task of trying to decide why they were there for 7 or 8 days. And I realized God needed the people together for 7 to 8 days to work out some issues, work out some problems, work out some indifferences, and to get into perfect unity. Fellowship always leads into perfect unity, and perfect unity always leads to a move of God. I pray for each and every one of your churches that God helps you to continually move into a place of perfect unity. I ask you to support your pastor and his wife and his family unquestionably. You can ask questions, but questioning is divisive. The Corinthian church was destroyed because of division. It was a Holy Ghost-filled church. It was a prophetic church, but there was no unity whatsoever. That's where the division, when you read the scripture, division began the ending of everything for that church. So pray for your pastor and his wife diligently. Pray for their family and pray for unity. And most of all, stick around and have some pizza and fellowship next door. Lord, we thank you for this time together. God, we thank you, Jesus, for every person here. We pray for these churches as they go back home. God, we pray for their ministries. God, we pray for every minister in their churches, every laborer, every person that gives of themselves, God, to further the kingdom. And we pray and ask you to bring us into a greater spirit of fellowship and unity that you can work through us, God, and bless every work represented here tonight. Bless this food to our bodies and bless the time of fellowship in Jesus' name. Worship the Lord one more time and give him some praise.